I'd like your nostalgia bone to be hard.
We'll just start with that. Welcome to SitSock, everybody. Let me adjust my seatbelt. Because we're all in the car together again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Kendrick.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Kevin.
It's a lot easier to sync that up in real life.
It's so much easier. We don't have to, let's do a countdown clap. Three, two, one.
Whoa!
Yeah. That's my audio. I'm sorry.
That's great. No, that's great. And also, Highball, give us money.
Yeah.
I don't have one, so there we go.
And Kevin already opened his because he doesn't follow simple instructions.
If Conga ever turns into a WeWork office because their office is too big, I'll just drive down here and we can drive to work.
Yeah, that works. Or you could just come work from my house.
Work from home.
Yeah.
Anyone's home.
Yeah.
Someone else's home.
I'm about to do that. Maybe I should do that. I will say, having gotten a new job where there's no office is, I fucking hate it. I miss the people. Even if I don't know people, I miss going to the office just to see other humans.
Yeah. I gotta say, I've been going into the office just about every day, unless I had a reason not to. I had a wedding last week, or the week before, I had like a half day on Friday and to do errands or something.
And like separating your home from your work, I feel like is way underrated. Unless you have an office, like a specified office that you can go to, and then lock it up on the weekend.
I have a corner of my house that where all of my work stuff lives, and I basically don't go to that corner of the house throughout. Like as soon as work's done, that area is like fucking dead to me.
It is recording, right? Can someone check that? Because I haven't used this in a while.
Yeah, it looks like
good. Like, that would be embarrassing.
Well, so there's not really separated spaces. Our house is pretty open, right? So unless we, like, you know, kicked our roommate out of our room, turned that into an office, and then both of us work in there, and then we lock the door and pad it up for after work. There's not good spaces.
Home offices are not great co-working spaces, typically.
That's
one of the reasons Kate has her little setup in the liquor cabinet there, is because I was in a meeting and she was trying to like watch a video or something and it was like this is not happening.
It's not conducive.
We're not doing this.
It's like I had to set up in my basement, which is where I do all the things I like, and so like it's like 10 feet away from when I work, and so if someone messages me, it's like I feel guilty not getting back on.
Well, and my setup was my former gaming computer, which has now mostly become a server for the forest that sits there that nobody touches anymore because we all stopped playing that game suddenly.
As per the normal thing that we all do.
But that's all that machine does is it sits there and runs the forest. And then what I used to do is for switching from work to play mode, I would just close my laptop and wake up my desktop, and it was all the same monitors,
mm-hmm.
which is really bad, because then if something happens, like, I'm basically working.
That's my other situation I could be in, is where I move my setup to my actual gaming computer, use those screens, and then, you know, up is work, down is not, and that didn't.
That is not a separation, and that's one of the reasons that most of 2020 is kind of a blur for me.
That makes so much sense.
I took all the work stuff off my phone.
I'm about to do that. I never added it.
I did because of my on-call shit. I don't know why I was waiting for that guy, because he shouldn't be doing what he was doing, but that's fine.
Welcome to Driving Sock.
Oh, yeah, by the way, to celebrate our 300th episode, we are resuming the original, day one. I guess I picked a different route than we used to do, but I did not want to get on the highway.
We've done this before.
We've done this one. I picked this one because there's more dogs to distract us.
Yeah.
And pie plates or whatever the fuck else.
Because eventually, we'll hit 36 and we'll get on 36.
And then we'll go, and we've done both, but I found this would be more fun for the distract-a-sock, as we used to do back in the day.
Which office are we going to go to?
Should we stop
by all of them?
I think that's too much. Check out this food truck place, though, right? It's the kitchen for a bunch of food trucks, I think. But no, so this is a 300th episode. We very rarely can get our shit together for our memorial ones, and so I crammed everyone in the car. We've had some logistical adventures, and we're just going on a simulated commute. Despite the fact that none of us, like Kyle, doesn't work for the same company anymore, and none of the rest of us really go to the office at the same time or place. Right. So,
and most of us live north or like east of the office now instead of
south carpooling of it. Literally makes no sense for us anymore at all. Because the carpool means I drive 90% of the way there and then drive Kyle the rest of the way there.
We did that, I think.
And it was weird when we did it, and it's weird now. But now we're doing it like in the middle of the day, like because it's
on
our day off because we're stupid.
We're not stupid. We're just lazy.
Yeah. Stupid. So much easier to do all the jokes synced up.
Yay!
Hooray!
Kendrick doesn't have to edit this one like crazy.
I'm just going to have to pull up the highs or pull down the highs and pull up the lows. And
you can just say you're going to have to pull my voice down.
I'm just going to have to, like, just the only claps and shit. We'll have to do that. And I might, if anyone in the back gets into a long conversation, I might have to boost them because that's that. As long as we keep talking forward and not turning to the microphone, we'll be fine because then our it'll come off.
You got to keep your head forward to keep
track. I have to drive. And, yeah.
Danny Carnations is bussing today.
Oh, that place, it shut down only when they were absolutely obligated to, and then ever since then, it's just filled with everybody. Like, that. That's those good. Aren't They're parking spots. Those are people. That's American Diner, or Colorado Diner.
It's like a four-page menu kind of place
It's a Denver Diner, which means it's got burgers, pancakes, but also, like, chili rellenos and Greek food for some reason.
There's, like, pasta, I thought, too.
Yeah, they have pasta.
I kind of wish we hadn't planned this around lunch because I'm starving, and everything you're saying sounds just...
Oh, no. This is worth driving to. I would like, plan ahead. Maybe not on a weekend or Sunday like this. Their Sundays are busy, but...
It's Monday.
I know, but it's like a... It's a long weekend. It does feel like a Sunday today. I wouldn't try to get in there today as a Monday holiday because it's probably full. I mean, it is clearly full. There's not a spot available. But, normally... Great place.
Is this going to be a problem if this is blowing?
Yeah, we'll find out.
Okay.
This is it, talk, man. Play it fast and loose. And normally we're like way more tired, but this is like 3 hours into the day, so we're all like awake now.
Yeah, everybody's had at least one cup of coffee before their highball.
Yep. Two for me. That man's got fart noises coming out of his car.
Dude, I say that shit all the time now. Whenever we hear annoying cars driving down Federal, like, oh man, can you hear how small that person's penis is? Right. Like,
sorry about your dick, dude.
It's okay, I get it. I don't care either way, so stop flexing. But
we still use when people just like start fucking bombing past us, like that guy has to poop real bad.
That one gives you a little more sympathy in life. You're like, oh buddy, I've been there. It's a photo finish. Yep. It's a photo finish.
We're talking about that this weekend, weren't we?
Underpants are a loss.
What is
underpants are a write off. We're just looking to save the pants at this point.
They started to get. They're like slowly deteriorating fashion.
Oh yeah, it's like okay, nope, underwear's gone. All right. We're triaging here, guys. We're triaging.
I like to think that they're really cheap and they put, like, a Pringles can for their exhaust pipe.
Yeah. That's about right.
I just think of what we used to do to make our cars loud when we were in high school. We just remove the catalytic converter, which is, like, bad in, like, five different ways. Yeah, but it does make your car louder.
Well, that's what people do now, and they steal other people's catalytic converters. That was happening in Denver. People were stealing them.
Because they have so many precious metals.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So can you imagine being at a point... Oh, sorry about that. That's new. Being at a point in your life where you decide that you're just going to steal catalytic converters and fence them for the metal? Like, you got to make some serious decisions. I don't even know where you fence that.
There's a lot of problems that happen. That's a very long ladder of issues to climb up to where we're getting to that point.
Well, it's one of those pieces that, like, it's not like you're stealing jewelry, right? Like, it's not as traceable. Like, I'm sure if you took a bunch of catalytic converters into somewhere, they're like, oh, you must work at a junkyard or...
Yeah,
I don't know.
Or you're taking. I don't even know where you hawk them. Kevin, do you know where you fence one?
I'd have no idea. I'd almost assume you'd have to like melt it down first.
Well,
like,
wouldn't you just take like the because it's the filter that has the metals in it.
Yeah,
I assume the catalytic part,
the converter part,
the part that does the catalysis.
The catalyst.
Mean, if you
the catalysis.
If you have the ability to melt it down, you'd probably get a lot more for it. But I'm sure that you could just like bring in a pile of them.
It's not just melting down though, right? You're like having to like pull the metals out of the filter.
It's platinum and some other metals, but like also where do you go with a fistful of like half melted platinum slag? Like I would like some money for this now. There's got to be some recycling program or something you're taking advantage of.
Yeah, I was thinking like a blood donor or like sperm donor.
That's
like,
why I wonder if they're taking the whole catalytic converter. Like you say, that you think is a junkyard situation.
I mean, that's an easy lie to pass, too. You just go, hey, we just got mine replaced. I don't know what to do with this other one. They wouldn't take it. Yeah, what can I get for this?
I'm wondering if they're not talking about it, but maybe there's like a program somewhere where they buy old catalytic converters or there's like a recycling program, and these guys are just totally scamming that system.
There's places that sell precious metals.
The fourth catalytic converter you've brought in this week. What are you doing out there?
Although, let's be honest, and that's why I'm wondering if it's a program versus, a place that buys them. Because if it's a program, they're like, all right, fill out the form.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Any of the things we're talking about are way too, overhead intensive. Like, bringing one at a time or having to explain yourself. Like, you'd have to have, a pawn shop, an easy place that just, buys them and knows how to sell them. Like, I'm thinking more Hollywood, I guess, where, you know a guy who works at so-and-so's pawn shop, and he knows a guy that he can sell it to. You're not really, selling to the person directly.
You're, sitting on opposite ends of a bench. Conversation.
I mean,
not
like Breaking Bad levels, but...
Well, it's also worth noting that, there was a rash of them, air quotes heavy, because it was, 60.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, oh, that's a lot, but it's like, yeah, but there's, millions of people here.
So it's not like a lot.
So it's not like everybody was losing their... Everyone was freaking out, but it was more of like a next door emergency versus a real emergency.
So is it people in your neighborhood getting their cattle?
No, it meant they were brown people in the neighborhood.
Whoa.
Obsessed with people. I actually haven't. But I feel like I would notice if the catalytic converter was missing, because I'd be kind of like, my car kind of sounds like that guy's car.
The exhaust is coming up through the floorboards.
My car makes me sleepy now.
I feel dizzy when
I got the car time dizzies.
I'm at, like, don't, I mean, you have to jack up a car to get the catalytic converter off, don't you?
No.
No?
I think you can swing up there with a hacksaw.
What about that car?
The Prius?
Yeah.
I think that might be hard
bad
to get.
Bad target,
at.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the door with the car's locked analogy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think you could just sweep up the double tailpipe, I'm not sure it is, but...
No, I get it. I'm seeing, like, I'm like, okay, some cars are tall enough.
I imagine you could sweep under there with a battery angle grinder thing and just
yeah,
be good
like
to go.
Sawzall.
Yeah, sawzall.
Zip through. I've done it before.
Kevin, are you the person who was stealing catalytic converters?
That's why he asked you specifically a few seconds. He was like, where would one find one?
Hey, Kevin,
as you would,
where have you sold your catalytic converter?
I feel like that involves an El Camino.
Yeah, it did not have a catalytic converter.
Yeah. You're just cutting shit out of your tailpipe for funsies.
It was really loud.
Yeah.
I was that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, sorry about your dick, dude.
You got better.
It got better.
We all have the history.
I don't know. Yeah. There's never much of a car guy.
True.
The most amount of like car work I ever really did was just repairing that old Cobalt that I had.
Which was probably more valuable than any of the car work I did, which was like put a forced air filter, air intake in my car, and like run vent tubing to get a forced air intake when I couldn't afford one.
Oh, okay.
We like ran like AC, not AC tubing, but like ventilation tubing, like 4-inch ventilation tubing to the front of our cars.
Nice.
So like... The forced air was you literally having an outlet to the front of your car that forced air as you're driving to the air to the intake.
Yeah. To be fair, in Colorado it does help because we don't got much air up here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
can get that. Mine was more along the lines of, okay, I got to make sure that my belt is no longer a belt; it's a thread. I need to fix this.
Dude, belts are rough.
I can't afford to.
Yeah.
I never fix one when I don't want to.
My dad tried to teach me how to do some car stuff at one point in my life, and I. Nope. Just, nope, not happening. I struggle with it. I understand the concepts, but, like, when it comes to actually getting down and dirty and doing anything beyond, like, changing the battery or any of that kind of stuff.
You ever change
your
oil?
I have, and then I'm like, oh, that sucks. I'm not doing that again. And I justify it by saying, yeah. A, it's not that expensive to pay my guy, and B, I whenever I have him change the oil, I also have him do an inspection to make sure there's nothing else wrong, because that's the shit I would miss. Like, oh, change the oil. It's like, did you notice how that belt isn't? And it's like, nah, that looks fine.
No, that's why I'm paying you.
Yeah, so that's why I pay him. And
what, do you change your own oil, Kevin?
You know, I haven't in this car. I did on the Jeep, but it was easy because it was off the ground a bit, so
yeah.
I could kind of scooch under there really easy. But this car, I haven't had the care.
Yeah, probably the most intensive thing I did in this car myself was, I mean, I've changed the battery. I'm good with batteries. I love batteries. Change batteries, I can handle well above that. I've had to recharge batteries before. Like, I'm good with electricity for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But I had to swap out a completely flat tire in my driveway where it's not flat. That was probably the most intensive thing I've done here. So I had to dig out my spare and the bottle jack and not die. You're not supposed to, because you see my driveway. It's not.
I thought you were going to say, you're not supposed to die when you change your oil, right? And I'm going to be like, yeah, you're absolutely right.
I mean,
that's the first thing you shouldn't do.
Rule one for when you jack up a car is make sure it's level.
Yeah.
And so
you
already blew through the first rule, so let's just, I guess we're just doing it. But yeah, that was probably that. And then I took it to the tire place and they fixed the tire. And then, okay, shout out to Discount Tire. Much as it sounds like it'd be cheap in the name, I took it there. With the dead tire separate, and then like, can you guys patch whatever I did to this because it's flat as hell? And I swapped on my I had a full size spare and it was fine.
Nice.
And so it was all right. And you know, like, hey, it was free, I think, because Discount Tire just doesn't. I don't understand how they make money. I think they must have crazy markup on their tires. I don't care, because you just show up there, you're like, fix my car, monkey, and then they just do it. But here's the thing. So the guys, they took the tire, because I didn't put it back in the spare tire thing. I just left it in the back. Like, all right, here's what's going on. Here's the flat. That's, I'll, you know, can you put it back on properly? Because I'm dumb and I don't trust it. Not only did they do that and rotated my tires and fixed that flat there and checked the one that I put on, but they put away all my tools because this car has a toolkit embedded in the back door. Like, it's a little, like, blow mold plastic thing that has all the stuff you need to change a tire. And it's, like, not... They put it all away because I just left it. And I'm like, I'll deal with it later because I got to go. They put it all away and then sealed it all up for me. And it's like, that was so unnecessary, yeah, guys. Thank you.
Dude, the one that we go to down the street from us, yeah, we love Discount. We've only had good experiences with those guys.
Well, and I overheard it was the two guys. The one guy said, oh, you got to make sure you put it all nice and neat here. Like training him to make sure he did that, like, as a rule, not just as a one-off thing. Yes. And I'm like, oh, man, you guys really take service to a whole other level. So yeah. shout out to Discount Tire.
Hell yeah, Discount Tire.
Give us money.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have to because they did all that. They didn't charge me for that.
You never forego a sponsorship opportunity.
Yep.
Life has taught me that.
How many have you got?
Zero.
Okay, so I feel like that might not be workable.
That's not what you're supposed to take away from that lesson.
You're just going to cast a wide net eventually. Yeah. I mean, that's something.
You can say as many analogies as you want, but I don't think that's true.
I like the wide net analogy because it just gives anybody. I hate it, but I'll continue to use it because it gives you. No, I'm not going to use it anymore either now. It gives you the excuse to do anything you want as long as you're doing it to, you know, spread a wide net.
Yeah,
which is like the worst kind of ideology.
I don't see the problem.
Yeah, I don't quite.
You miss 100%.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kendrick, our personal SCP.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that one.
What? There's haunted art?
Yeah, look at that shit.
Every time
Which
that we
one?
Used to drive up here,
exactly.
All of it.
The joke was that, so this is the art exhibit at the Arvada Center for anyone who's not in the car. And it's like a field full of random sculptures, but they will change them in and out. So every time we drive past, it's just a little bit different. And we're waiting for the day we find out that there isn't an art exhibit there and no one knows what's happening in that field and you're not supposed to look at it.
Yeah. And no one actually has been out there for a while because everyone who goes out there doesn't come back.
I started trying to write out an SCP and got frustrated because I started reading the forums on how to write SCPs.
Oh, those guys
and they're just like, they're ruthless. Quality control like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, they're way up their own assholes about it.
I tried to submit a story to No Sleep once. It was a story about, like, you being, like, sleep paralysis and something reaching through your bed to pull you down into whatever, wherever it lives. And they wouldn't, there was, like, again, it's the same thing. I submitted, they rejected it, and they told me why. And I was like, I did that 3 or 4 times, and I was like,
you know what?
Never
I don't
mind.
Really care.
I won't share my stuff with people.
Yeah, I'll just make my own No Sleep with blackjack and hookers.
Yeah.
Forget the No Sleep.
Corwin posted an SCP, I think on Facebook, earlier this week, which was one of the more disturbing ones I've ever read.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, he wrote one?
No, he just posted one he found. Okay. And it was one of those long-form ones that pushes... It was a lot more personal narrative than you tend to see with an SCP.
Yeah.
Mm. Like the IKEA one.
Kinda, yeah, okay. Yeah. Which, well, that was when you were talking about the video game you were just playing, right?
This store is closed.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, it was a little more like that because it was a narrative and it was about. I mean, I don't. Yeah, I don't really want to. Fuck it. It's a. It was an SCP. It was a Cognito Hazard, and it was this weird. It was kind of a weird bifurcated one because the first half of it was just this weird database anomaly that they couldn't delete, and so there was this whole bunch of standard SCP why are you wasting my time bullshit about all of this like. Shit they had to do so that no one would find this, because if they found it as a Cognito Hazard, you had to then be terminated or have an amnesiac or whatever. Like, so, because the Cognito Hazards are supposed to be, and this is actually a real thing, by the way, a Cognito Hazard, is the concept is that it is a piece of information that upon learning it is, or experiencing it, you are now in an altered state, or it's a danger to you to just know a thing.
Oh, so it's, I was thinking you were going to talk about, like, the Chimera problem, where, like, if you talk about the Chimera problem, you have to be you're participating no matter what, regardless of your consent or not.
What's its basilisk, right? No, you're right. That is another Cognito Hazard. We're not talking about it, but that is one. Yes.
I'll send you a video on it.
Yeah, we'll talk about
if
it.
If you want to expose yourself to it, you can.
There is one other one. There is a Kevin's gonna expose himself. No, there's another one. There's actually a real human like experiential one. That is a visual pattern, a visual animated pattern, that if you see it, it can cause you to have after images whenever you look at things like railings or sequential vertical lines.
Whoa.
For up to months later.
Sweet.
Oh, come on.
And so it's one of those, like, you can look at this, it won't hurt you, but by seeing it, it causes this weird feedback loop in your brain that this many people report this this colorful effect when they see the vertical lines for up to months afterwards. And I haven't done it myself because I'm a little scared.
Yeah, no, that's one of those, like, I don't want to touch the urban.
So I don't want to do the first half of fuck around to get to the second half to find
there's
out.
There's this other, that must be another one is, like, I don't know if it's Cognito Hazard, but Dalton was talking about, our buddy Dalton, who is on the Cyclinifrit thing that we do, was talking about sitting in a dark room with a mirror, looking into a mirror, and, like, looking into it for, like, 10 minutes, apparently, like, weird shit happens.
Oh.
Like, if you're, like, in a dark enough room, low lit, and you look into it, like you start to hallucinate or something like that.
They're dark enough that you can see the mirror. But
yeah, you still have to be able to see, right? It's not, like, Bloody Mary dark. It's, like, just
there's,
looking at
there's
it.
There's a lot to be said for sensory deprivation experiences. Mm-hmm. If you see those things about people who put half a cut ping pong ball over their eye in, like, a dimly lit room, you start to see colorful hallucinations regardless of whatever's in your blood.
Dude, I want to do a sensory deprivation tank really bad.
Yeah.
But well, I've also listened to a lot of no sleep stories about what happens if you, like, if they go, like, the horror versions. And I'm like, oh.
Well, my personal experience of it was bad, but that's because I just could not handle it. So I mean, you should try it out.
It's not for the faint of heart, honestly. It's not like, oh, yeah, I just slept. It's like, no, it is.
And you can start hearing your blood moving through your body.
Your brain starts to come up with shit to fill the space. Yeah. And it's like, I got nothing to do. Yeah. So did you know that there's vampires outside?
And it's like, or like, it's like the same reason this you don't want to do like heavy hallucinogens without like people around you.
Or what was it?
All right, wait, we got to switch topics because I noticed that we're switching through like every topic we've almost ever talked about on podcasts before. So I was going to bring up video games.
First off, before you do that, on the whole. Oh, nice. On the hallucinogen, real quick, was the story from work was the two guys that were on shrooms and they're on the top of a building in front of a roof. One of them jumped off, and the other guy watched him do it. And the joke, or the apocryphal story was, they asked him, "Why did you let this guy jump off a building in front of you?" He's like, "Well, he said he was going to jump to the moon. So why did you let him?" He's like, "I thought he could.
Why would you stop somebody?
Like, I wanted to see
so
it.
Cool, yeah."
It's like, so that's the state you're in there. Like, that sounds cool. All right. Anyway, video games.
You guys, we talked about Axiom Verge 2 a little bit ago.
A lot, yeah.
It made me want to get back on my Switch, and I was, like, looking at games and stuff. And I have that Sundered game that we can talk about.
We can have it Sundered.
Played.
Huh? I want to play Sundered.
But yeah, it was really cool. I picked it up for, like, an hour before I went to bed, and it was, like, very Metroid-y at first, right? You're, like, doing things that you do in, like, Metroid, Super Metroid, right? Like, And I was thinking, like, Eldritch Edition meant it was going to be, like, Eldritch, like, Lovecrafty Eldritch. It's a little bit, but the cool part about this game is that you go down into, like, this compound, and it's a big, like, Castlevania Metroid-style map thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, gigantic. But every time you die, certain areas in that map will, like, rebuild themselves different ways. So you have to, like, move through them again, and there's always stuff to find and, like, treasures to explore. And, like, the stuff you get in the level when you die you can use, or even if you just don't, if you want to stop and go back to the hub, you use to, like, upgrade this gigantic, like, skill tree where you, like, increase your damage and you can upgrade certain, like, permanent upgrades you get, like a double jump, a giant mega gun. There's, like, a sword that you get right away. So it's, like, a cool mix between, like, roguelike games and just straight Castlevania games. It's, like, you don't necessarily feel so bad when you lose everything, right? But you also get the kind of, like, random seated experience of, like, having everything not be the same all the time.
Have to play it.
It's $5, and if this isn't gonna come out by then, never mind.
Go buy it.
I went through Axiom Verge, and then I started playing Neon Abyss right after that.
Oh, I love Neon Abyss.
Yeah, that's really fun.
Is it cool? Like, what is it about?
It's kind of like it's sort of Dead Cells-y, maybe. I mean, the same type of outside progression, sort of. But like, it's a shooter, so it's like twin stick, kind of running around.
Like third person?
Oh.
No, it's a side scroller.
But to shoot.
Oh, like Contra style.
Yeah.
Oh,
cool. Okay.
Or no, Metal Slugs.
Metal Slugs, but I know what you meant.
But you end up getting like all these upgrades and different guns, and you get these little eggs that hatch behind you, and they each add like a different power. Like one will shoot, one will go poison things.
Oh, dude, that's my favorite part of like those side spaceships.
You can infinitely add more things. Like you keep upgrading your gear throughout the run, and by the end you could be just obscenely overpowered.
Right. Yeah, or not. And fuck you.
Or you can be dead.
Or you can die.
Yeah, or you get the bad combination in Dead Cells, and you're just like, I'm done. I'm gonna start a new round.
Well, and that the Dead Cells is a little bit more controllable, I think, in that one. You get more choices. This one's you're like, here's a gun that shoots chickens. Do the chickens hurt things? Oh, fuck no. Go to hell.
Yeah.
Ass.
At least they lean into it, right?
Yeah.
Like,
Well, then sometimes you're like, oh, here's a gun that shoots other guns that explode, causing infinite damage to anybody nearby. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can get yourself in trouble with the explosions because it hurts you.
Yeah.
So you shoot a wall on accident, or like you get a gun with bouncy bullets that bounce all around the screen, and then they explode when they're done. So you're just like killing yourself constantly.
So it is kind of like Dead Cells in that way. you can kill yourself.
It's the only complaint I really have about that game is how uneven the play experience can be.
Yeah.
Because you'll roll in, you're like, you can have a good run, and I think my first or second run of the entire time playing it, I got to like the second or third round of bosses, and I'm like, this game's kick ass. And the second one, I had the dildo gun that it was like, this does nothing.
Is it literally a dildo gun?
I think there might have been actually. Oh, like it was an allusion to one, but it was something that was like, it was just useless, and it was like, okay. And then like I had that for three or four runs, and like, okay, I can see where someone can have a very different experience.
Yeah.
Depending on this game.
High variance. The other game I started playing was called Garden Story, which I linked it in the Discord that we have the other day, but it's like a really cool mix between like Zelda and Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Where you play like this grape called Concord, and you're like trying to...
That's a grape.
You become the guardian of these, like, this town, and you get weapons in like Zelda. You know, once you buy the weapon, you can upgrade it. And, like, it's, like, your hookshot, and then your hookshot becomes a double hookshot or like that. Or, like, you get a hammer right away, get a better hammer. You get, like, fairy jars. So a lot of that stuff is very, like, Zelda-ish. There's, like, dungeons you go into and bosses you fight. But also, it's got, like, Stardew Valley kind of, like, tasks and stuff that you do. You have to collect gathering materials. You can build stuff. You, like, are helping out the town, so you're trying to, like... deliver things daily and upgrade your town, and the faster you do that.
Because I think you posted it and I didn't quite track what it was.
Cool. I didn't either at first, because those two games don't seem like, you're like, okay, like those seem like very independent things, but yeah, go ahead, Joe.
What was it called?
Garden Story?
Garden.
It's like $20.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what to expect out of it, because I've been watching our roommate play a lot of like what we call AAA games, like the ones that are way too expensive to be any good. And...
Oh, the future got weird.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm like, well, what do we expect now from, like, a $20 indie game? Like, is it going to be, like, 100 hours? Is it...
Yeah, what does that even mean? It just means it's got, like, really a lot of polygons and some shitty voice acting.
Right. Yeah, that's, like, no, that's, like, indie games now. It's, like art style is 8-bit to 64-bit, right? Like, it's, or, well, you know, like,
yeah.
It's all kind of bitty. And then it's got some unique mechanic somewhere that defines it as a game, right?
Yep.
So.
I've also been on the Switch kick now. I just picked up Spelunky, which I've always wanted to play.
Is that multiplayer?
Yeah.
I've heard that game is crazy.
It's like four-player single screen.
You can, like, murder each other in that game, though,
accidentally,
right?
Accidentally, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And, like, you can... Yeah, it's a little... It can get a little competitive. You're supposed to kind of work together, but you are able to kill
yourself.
Are
you going to, like, old office? Yeah. Okay.
We're going old school.
Okay. Oh, Jesus.
We're going to the first Sitsock office.
Hell yeah.
And hopefully they don't have a gate.
It's not so much rogue. Okay. It's more like, it's kind of destiny. I don't even really, like, so, like, you're going around the map. You're trying to collect a bunch of gold and money. And then there's, like, a damsel on every level. All the levels are randomly generated. And you only have so much time to actually get through the level. Or this gigantic ghost shows up and insta-kills you.
Oh, interesting.
And there's, like, little monsters and stuff. You whip them with a little limb. Your guy looks kind of... Like, the main character looks very Indiana Jones style. And then you, like, throw bombs and use grappling hooks to, like, get around. But you can blow yourself up, and then there's, like, a little store that shows up. And no idea what the actual, like, storyline is. You're just trying to, like, go as far as you can until you die.
You must dig deeper.
It's kind of like... It sounds like Crypt of the Necrodancer. Like, you're like, I don't know what's happening here, but I just know I have to keep going.
Yeah, yeah. I just know I must dig. Yeah. And then I picked up One Slash, which is, like, also an indie game, and that was super cheap. And me and Tyler were playing the shit out of that and giggling like madmen. Because it's this very, like, 8-bit art, samurai showdown style.
Nice.
And it's just one cut. But the timing of it is weird. So all the characters have different weapons, different styles. You only have, like, really one attack per person. Some of them have multiple, and some of them dash and some of them don't. And it's just one cut. Whoever gets hit first dies.
Nice.
And it's very... It can get really intense. You can... Your blocking is like a timing mechanic, so you have to hit the button at the correct time.
So you first said, I thought it was like one kind of like those old like mini games and like Kirby or whatever, where you're like just your timing and you have to hit it once.
Yeah,
like
the it's a little more arcade fighter style.
Oh, I was going to ask you because it sounded like the Stickman game in my head where you're like jumping around a map trying to get the one hit.
Right, right. Only just like a little more like vertical. It's almost, it's very Bushido Blade in a 2D, like, in like a Street Fighter style.
Okay.
It's fun. Like, we were sitting there for like an hour and a half just going back through characters and just giggling and just the intensity that suddenly pops up.
You got any? Oh, go ahead, Jack.
Oh, yeah, no.
You got any games to talk about?
No, I was just going to say as we round out the end of our 300th episode here, I feel like we need to do at least one band name.
I was going to say band name and like, yeah, movie or audiobook review.
Yeah. Well, who has the list out for a band
name? I'll pull it up
right now. All right, just the top one.
Just the top one.
No hesitation. Nope.
That's what I do.
Or just come up with one.
Hey.
On the top of our heads.
All right. Top of the list. Primer Mop.
Primer Mop?
Primer Mop.
All right. I feel like it's... I'm gonna shoot from the hip here because I don't want to have to pay too much attention here. It's a... Primus cover band entirely run by custodial staff.
Ooh, yeah, damn you.
Damn! Also.
Yeah. It's just, that's what I got. What else you got? For what it's worth, you can think of Primer as like a painting concept, right?
Ooh, no, yeah. Okay, I've got it. So, it's actually a group that uses a combination of custodial equipment. I know we kind of default to like the fuck, Aaron, I forgot the name of the smash, like the guys that use like garbage cans and shit.
Yeah.
To like make
stomp.
Music.
Stomp.
Thank you. Yeah. So they use only custodial equipment. They have a big mop as like their backdrop, but the primer is that they actually use like priming powder.
Oh
so
shit!
It's a huge pyrotechnics show.
Ooh, that's yeah. Cool.
Damn, the mop thing and the custodial bomb building was where I was gonna go at first.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
But where I'm actually gonna go now is a primer mop is like the it's a weird like sponsored band from like a primer school, like a really fancy primer school, but it's for like small children. So they had to like make it engaging for kids, like you know, like the Wiggles and shit like that.
Yeah.
So it's this like band that sings about you know how to, they're like the mascots of this primer school. But they're dressed up as, like, really, like, foofy dogs. They're not foofy dogs, but, like, the dogs that have really long hair.
Like the mop dogs.
Yeah, mop dogs. Yeah. Like, so it's, like, the primer mop is, like, the band that's the mascots of this primer school. But it's, like, animatronic floppy dog, moppy dog robots that sing about, like, how to be at a primer school for children.
Oh, man, you took, like, every bit of that.
Yeah.
I'm left with not much.
You can do it. Bring us home, Kevin.
Do something creative.
Okay, so I'm thinking it's one dude, and he has like a, you know how you can stomp and it plays a drum on your back or something.
Oh, like one man band.
Yeah.
One man
band.
Yep.
But his hair, he has this giant mop, and he takes actual spray paint primer and colors his hair like this giant mop of actual primer colored hair, and he's this street performer.
Oh, okay.
Primer mop.
I dig it.
Dude, I like it. Another one I was thinking of. I'm not gonna normally do this, but you set up a room, and every point in the room is a different sound that is created. Like, it's like a button or something, like whenever something touches it. And all you do is you dip a real mop and primer and fling it around, and whatever sound comes out of all the buttons you press is the music you made.
Classic.
He's the fuck about right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Wow. I remember this view.
Right. That's why I parted this way. I was like, I could park facing the building, or I could look at the view, and I think I'd go for the view.
When Colorado wasn't full of smoke.
Yeah, just as a poignant reminder.
If we did this at 6 a.m. or 11 p.m., we might see mountains.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us for our 300th episode, woo-hoo, everybody.
300 episodes. This is back where it all began. Not the same car. I thought about tracking down my old car, but I don't think the guy would let me use it.
I don't remember starting in a different car, honestly.
We did like the first three episodes in my other car.
Cell phone in the cup holder.
Yep. I almost did the cell phone in the cup holder, but I was like, that was too awful.
Yeah, so. There's like too many. You don't go back that far. You don't ever go full nostalgia.
That sounded like butts.
Yeah, well, I hope you enjoyed our extra long 300th episode. You know, thanks for listening to our podcast.
Like, comment, and subscribe.
Thanks for listening to last episode of Sit Sock.
Buy a t-shirt.
And we love you guys. Wait, what?